Thus says the Lord through his prophet, as the snow and the rain come down from heaven to return not, but water the earth, and yet break forth and sprout, bringing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth in my mouth. It shall not return to be empty, but shall accomplish that for which I am directed and succeed in my purposes. O Lord, let this so happen today through your servant. In the corner of the bedroom, just beneath the shelf of all these stuffed animals and stacking dolls, there's a little nightlight plugged into the wall. And all through the night, it softly casts its glow upon the sleeping child. It chases away the darkness. It banishes the sorrows. It soothes the fears. It's not very bright by any stretch of the imagination. And it doesn't do very much at all. Yet in a sense, it does everything. Just by shining, it gives peace, security, and blessing to the entire house. You are the light of the world. Jesus says that that's us. You're called to take a stand in the darkness. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You, like that little nightlight, don't have to do very much at all. Just shine. And by doing so, you might be accomplishing more than you could ever imagine. You are the light of the world. I mean, funny when you think about it, Jesus seems to exclude the possibility of any of us not shining, of our not bearing this burning light already within us, that it's there. He speaks about it so matter-of-factly, almost as if it takes more effort to cover up this light than it does just to let it shine. The light of the world is here within each of us, ready to burst forth. A city on a hill cannot be hidden unless it's deliberately blacked out or it's destroyed. A lamp will light up an entire room unless it's deliberately put under a bushel basket. Mm-hmm. This metaphor, to me, is so telling. That it's not a matter of some people having light and others not. Or some people being bright and others dim or perhaps less incandescent. It's a matter more of some people going to such great lengths to quench that light that's already within them. To hide it, to constrain it, to restrict it, to put it out altogether, to do anything else but shine. Because we have gotten rather used to the darkness of our world, haven't we? So often that we have this unconscious yearning to blend in the shadows. We know not what we do. So accustomed to the dimness, we sometimes deliberately seek to cloak that light, to not stick out in such a blatant fashion, or to take that light that we have and bring it and hide it behind closed doors where only the barest illumination comes out of the cracks. And the world barely sees a thing. You know, this is epitomized in my mind by one of the greatest symbols of churches everywhere, stained glass windows. I mean, one thing they have in common, unlike ours, I will point out, one thing they have in common is on the outside, they look so rather drab or lifeless. I think about those windows that come to mind, the Chartres Cathedral with its rosette, Valparaiso University, the Chapel of the Resurrection, even the church where my mom was at in Corvallis. Beautiful, wonderful stained glass. The colors of all the worshiping congregation is so beautiful and enhances so worship. But if you take what Jesus says, it should be almost the other way around. Rather than than rely on exterior right to shine upon a worshiping congregation, the way Jesus sees it, it should be the light of the worshiping congregation shining with bold and beautiful colors into the community. What a horrible thing. What a shame when it doesn't. Whether we're speaking literally, figuratively, spiritually. For the world out there that we go back to, it is in dire need of some light. And what is this light? Where does it come from? God. It's that glow we have inside us, realizing that we are loved unconditionally. It's God loving us, caring for us, dying for us in spite of us. And the warmth of that love should change us. It should light up our life. It should light our fire. It's nothing less than the very light that Christ himself says he has. In John's gospel, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's his light we walk in. His light that we shine upon others. In that regard, we're like the moon. We only reflect the light of the sun to the darkest places in the darkest time to give illumination, to give joy, unless we deliberately turn away, unless we eclipse ourselves. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And what we say, how we act, either brings light or darkness. It either gives honor and glory to God, or it doesn't do anything at all. What do I mean? Let me take you back. Almost exactly 21 years. February 12th, 1993. It was a Friday that day. Take you back to a military hospital in Germany. In the midst of the flu season that was afflicting everybody, the place was more than busy. It was a madhouse. The waiting room was overfilled. Extra chairs had to be set up in the hallway. The staff was way behind schedule, and the patients were anything but patient. Into this maelstrom of chaos, a man and a woman entered. Took in the scene with crestfallen faces, and did the only thing they could do, wait. They filled out the forms and sank into the last two available seats. He was a chaplain. You can tell by his rank and the cross on his uniform. And she was a woman whose pregnancy was just starting to show. And also just starting to show on her was a sense of panic. That this child inside her would be lost, just like the one before, and lost on a day where their other child had her birthday. They waited until the doctor got around to see him, and when he did, he was so abrupt. He was rushed, he was annoyed, he was tired, he'd been on the go for hours and needed a rest. There are too many stupid ailments in the emergency room that weren't really emergencies at all. There were too many people abusing the system at his expense. And now this. Looks at the file, looks at the couple, pregnant lady bleeding. Didn't have to be a doctor to know what that meant. I mean, what did these two people want out of it? I mean, sure, they were sad, but what could he do about it? So fatigue and frustration were so evident in his voice. He looked up and said, you go home and lie down. You probably lost your baby, but you'll be fine. Make an appointment to see your own doctor sometime next week. And he was gone. Treatment room suddenly seemed like a dark, dark place. So they got up and left. And with heavy steps and heavier hearts, they made their way back to their car, back to their home, back to their life. But as they were walking down the hall, they met another doctor. He was busy too. But seeing the look on the woman's face, he stopped and said, hey, something doesn't look right here. What is it? And then he listened. Now, he could be done, literally, really, if the woman had indeed miscarried again. But he also knew that what could be or could not be done was not nearly as important as what could be shown. And he'd never put it this way, but he saw shadows in need of a little light. And so he said, hey, let's just go in and do an ultrasound just for the heck of it, and I'll take care of it. And he gave up his lunch hour to do so. Now, whether this baby lived or died meant all the world to this couple. But finding someone who cared in their hour of need, experiencing that kind of unexpected kindness, was like a little light shining in the darkness, chasing it away, banishing the shadows, soothing the fear. A light to give thanks to God for. And a light made an awful lot brighter by what the ultrasound monitor showed, the little tiny heart beating okay of a child that eventually made Rebecca. Now, what makes this light so much better is how contagious it is. That those who bask in its glow find themselves eager to share it with the rest of the world. And later that very same day, that same man, if you haven't guessed, was me, was the last one in the office responsible for closing it down, getting ready for the weekend, and they had a little birthday party for their own girl. And just as I was leaving, someone shows up. Out of the blue. Didn't know her. No appointment. No nothing. Just stood there. Didn't say anything. Just sobbing. Didn't know her, but there she was. Needing help. Needing light. And it was easy to see how great her need was and how petty any reason I had for not shining. And in fact, it was even a sense of gratitude that I had a chance to show someone else the same concern I've just been shown. So I said, hey, whatever it is, whoever you are, Christ said to me, let's just sit down and see what we can do to sort things out. You are the light of the world. That's an awesome responsibility for us Christians to bear Christ's light. We're surrounded by shadows and darkness, by fear and doubt. It doesn't take any effort at all to shine a little bit of light here and there. But it will take everything we got. I mean, remember what Jesus says. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just one of those good things you should do that the Bible seems to be full of. It's not even really a commandment. It's just a simple statement of fact. You are either shining or you're veiling God's light. And what you do or don't do matters to God, to you, to the world around you. So let your light so shine before others that they will see what you do and give glory to your Father in heaven. It's a choice we get to make every moment of every day. Every time we meet another human being, we have the opportunity to shine. We can let our pride or frustration or any petty annoyance cover that light up and make the world a little bit darker for somebody else than for ourselves. Or we can spread that wonderful light of God all around us, wherever we go, whoever we encounter. In the corner of the room, there's a little nightlight plugged into the wall. Its gentle glow through the night chases away the darkness, banishes the shadows, soothes the fear. It's pretty tiny. You'd never even know it was there if it wasn't shining. But its light, its shining, makes all the difference in the world. You. Now the peace of God which passes all